The old school bell tells us it's time for session number 27 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying the lessons that E.A. Elam wrote for Sunday schools back in 1922. In the last class session, we were finishing up the first quarter of these lessons. Lesson 13 is really simply a review. I'll read the little paragraph he has for the review, but then I want to go back and talk about where we have been in these lessons, and then I'm going to go forward and show where we are going with these lessons. Let me get to the table of contents here, and this is the table of contents for the little book of Sunday school lessons that he wrote, called Elam's Notes. Now here's the paragraph. In the lessons of this quarter, we have learned something of the lives of some very wicked kings and of some grand prophets. There never reigned over Israel two kings so wicked and rebellious as Jeroboam and Ahaz, and it seems there never lived any woman so cruel and diabolical in her plots as the execution of them as Jezebel. On the other hand, there was no prophet more loyal and heroic and daring than Elijah, and more faithful and brave than Elisha. This review should show us some of the benefit we have derived from the study of these lessons. Now, in these lessons for that first quarter, we begin with the introduction to Elam's Notes, and in his introduction, he's talking about how it's a duty of all to study the Bible. It's a duty of Christians to teach the Bible to others. It is the duty and delight of Christians to study the Bible and teach it to others. And it's also the duty of sinners to study the Bible so they can learn what to do to be saved. And he gave an exhortation for Bible study. And then we begin the first quarter lesson. And this first quarter has been on the leaders and the prophets of Israel. That's the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. The first lesson had to do with the revolt of Jeroboam against Rehoboam. Rehoboam being Solomon's son, and Jeroboam being the one that those 10 tribes followed because they did not want to pay all those heavy taxes that Rehoboam was going to lay on them. And God promised Jeroboam, if you do as I say, I'll establish your throne in these northern tribes the way I established David's throne in the southern tribes. But Jeroboam did not trust in Jehovah. And he decided that if the people went back to Jerusalem to worship, well, they'll want to go back and come under the reign of David's dynasty. And so he established his own worship and set golden calves in Dan and Bathsheba. And this became a sin unto Israel, and it became a proverb from then on, as the kings forsook the Lord's way, that they walked in the ways of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. One of those wicked kings was Ahab. He had married Jezebel, and they were filling the land with Baal worship. And Ahab showed up and said, it will not rain these years except according to my word. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain in Israel. And then, suddenly, Elijah shows up and challenges the prophets of Baal to a contest on Mount Carmel. He got up there, and there were 450 prophets of Baal. He said, build an altar to Baal and prepare a sacrifice, but put no fire thereon, and I will build an altar to Jehovah and put a sacrifice there. I'll put no fire thereon evil. We'll pray to our gods to see if they will accept our sacrifice. And he told them to go first. And all day long those prophets of Baal cried out unto a God that did not even exist, and no fire came. But when Elijah said his prayer, the fire came, and the people realized as a result of that contest that they needed to quit trying to go two different ways and to follow Jehovah their God. But after this, that old wicked King Jezebel, she wanted Elijah put to death. And so Elijah was so discouraged, and he fled, and he went into a cave on Mount Sinai. And God came to him in that cave, and with a still, small voice, told him he needed to return and to prophesy again in Israel. He got back, and there was this case of King Ahab coveting the vineyard of one of his subjects that was next to his palace that was belonged to Naboth. He wanted to buy the vineyard from Naboth, but Naboth did not want to sell. And so he was pouting about that. And that wicked Jezebel, she drummed up charges against Naboth and had him put to death, and told Elijah he could go claim that vineyard for himself, or told Ahab he could go claim that vineyard for himself. And when Ahab walked into that vineyard, who should be there but Elijah? And he scolded Ahab for his wickedness and told him that the dogs would lick up his blood when he was slain. Well, Elijah was going to turn things over to another prophet. His name was Elisha. And so there's two prophets of a similar name, Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha followed Elijah across the Jordan River, which divided its waters so they could walk across on dry land when Elijah smote it with his mantle. And then, in Elisha's view, a fiery chariot came down with horses and separated the two prophets, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind. And as he went, he threw his mantle down upon Elisha. And Elisha went back and smote the waters of Jordan, and he walked back into Israel on dry land to continue his work. Elisha was a prophet of many wonders. And there was a Shunammite woman that had prepared a place for his lodging. And because of Elisha's promise, she had a little child. But the little child died. And she went to Elisha, wanting the child to be raised. When Elisha asked her, "Is everything well?" she said, "It is well," but he could tell she was troubled. He went to her house, and because of the power of God being demonstrated through Elisha, that would demonstrate that he was a prophet of God, he raised the child to life. Naaman the Syrian heard about Elisha and came to him to be healed of his leprosy. Elisha told Naaman, if you want to be healed, he sent his messenger out to Naaman and said, if you want to be healed of leprosy, then you need to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, that made Naaman angry. He didn't want a messenger telling him what to do. He thought Elisha would come out and perform some kind of magic trick, and it seemed ridiculous to him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And so he came to Elisha as a leper, and he left as an angry leper. But the servants came to Naaman and told him, "Why don't you do what the prophet said? If he'd bid you to do a great thing, you'd been glad to do what he said. So go wash and be clean." And Naaman went to that Jordan River, and having dipped 7 times, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Boy, doesn't that teach us that we need to do what God tells us to do? That lesson there about baptism is so clear, because in the New Testament, we're cleansed of that plague of sin when we're baptized into Christ. That is, if we will do what he said do and not get angry at the preacher for telling us that we need to be baptized. Well, Elisha was defended by God's mighty angels. And after we read about Elisha, we read about Jonah going into that heathen city and how the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And when they did, God repented of the evil that he was going to do to Nineveh. And then we read about Amos, who went into northern Israel teaching them to repentance, and they rejected all the voice of all these prophets. And so we read about the downfall of Israel. They were carried away into Assyrian captivity, and became what we know today as the Lost Tribes of Israel, because the people of those 10 tribes never did return again with their identity. They lost their identity among the peoples of the world. There's prophecies, though, in the prophets that they would once again be God's people, but that would be when the gospel is preached into all the world, and when they repent of their sins and are baptized into Jesus Christ and are added to His church. And that's the way all the world now becomes a person of God. And so with that, we end that first quarter, and we're going into the second quarter of lessons. And these have to do with the kings and the prophets in southern Israel. We're going to read about Asa, who reigned for 40 years. He was a son of David, or one of his descendants, which is what the word son means. And how he had a prosperous reign and was a good king. Another good king is the king Joash, who God was able to save and help Joash. We're going to read about the love that Joash had for God's house, and he somewhat had a restoration movement when he was rebuilding the house of the Lord. But then Joash was tragically killed in a battle. We're going to read about Uzziah, who in some cases Uzziah was a good king in southern Israel, but he was a king that was plagued with pride, and because of that he was punished. And then we're going to read about a great prophet in southern Israel by the name of Isaiah. And so as we read through the Bible, we come to the book of Isaiah, which can be looked upon as a collection of the sermons that Isaiah preached. And he would preach about a time when the mountain of the Lord's house would be established in the top of the mountains, and the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem. He was talking about a new kind of Jerusalem then, and it was a prophecy that would be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the apostles and the gospel began to be preached into all the world, just as Jesus had commanded them, in fulfillment of those prophecies. We're going to read about a man named Hilkiah, and how that in cleaning up the temple, how they discovered the book of God in the temple. And we're going to read about a prophet named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was warning Israel that because of their sins and their forsaking of God, Babylon was going to come take them prisoner. And they needed to really just surrender and cooperate with Babylon, and God would work with them in time. But they did not like Jeremiah, and the king didn't like to hear it. Jeremiah was cast into the prison, down into a dungeon filled with the mire. It was sort of like throwing him down in a sewer. And an Ethiopian came, and with old rotted rags and nasty cloth, he was able to pull Jeremiah up out of that prison. And then we read that Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon comes and besieges the city and captures the king and his men. And Judah, those Jews from Jerusalem at that time, are carried away into Babylonian captivity, where they are going to remain for a period of 70 years. And so what an exciting quarter we have ahead of us after having studied the downfall of northern Israel. We're going to see that those in southern Israel didn't learn their lessons and went much in their own way. But because of God's mercy, He preserved a remnant, because He had a promise to fulfill that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through them, and it came. I hope as we study these lessons this quarter that is coming up, that we won't be like Judah, but that we will learn from the mistakes they made and decide we're not going to be like that. What we're going to do is repent, like those children of Nineveh did. We're going to repent and do what God says, and follow His will, and let Him be our religious authority. And so we'll be added then to the kingdom of God that will endure forever and ever. So there's much to learn from these lessons, but the class period is about over, and as the old schoolmaster used to say, the class may now be dismissed.